This is how excited I am to bring in David Eichhold. I haven't got to talk to him for a little bit, and we have so many Iowa things to talk about. David, how you doing?
Good, man. Always good to talk to you. Like you said, a lot to catch up on, I think.
Oh, my goodness. So let's start. Let's get the Luka Garza and putting his jersey, well-deserved, by the way. And once again, this season, I think Fran McCaffrey is making so many inroads to people starting to understand who he really is. That you have a Fran McCaffrey that goes out and says some of the things that he does to save his team from having to get ridiculed or talked about, and also seeing the caring that this man has for his basketball team and the caring that he has for Luka Garza.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that. You know, I've always said that, you know, Fran's a player's coach. And I've always said that you can't really, at least to my knowledge, you can't look back at any of his former players that have had a negative thing to say about Fran. And whenever, like you said, whenever he makes comments, whether it be toward the media, toward the officials or whatever, none of his guys feel cheated. And they know that he's going to be the one to, you know, carry the burden for them. He's going to be one fighting for them. And like you said, I think that there's a special bond between, obviously, Luka Garza and Fran McCaffrey, as, you know, the viral video when Fran told him that his jersey is getting retired. We've seen the, you know, Jordan Bohannon and Fran McCaffrey, and just the way that he finds a way to relate to his guys. And like you said, I think that people, you know, at times it can get overshadowed because of, you know, Fran's outburst in the past, but, you know, it cannot be overstated the fact that people need to be able to differentiate between who is Fran McCaffrey the coach and who's Fran McCaffrey the person. And when you're so entrenched in sports, sometimes it can be difficult to be able to separate those things. But I think, like you said, I think that the narrative to some degree is starting to turn to some extent.
And you have to add one more layer into that too, because you also have Fran McCaffrey, the dad, and coaching his two sons, which I guarantee you, and I have three boys that I have coached, not at that level, but have coached all of them. And they say that the worst thing in the world that you could have is have your dad coach. Because they were never going to get, you know, if I had to make sure that a point got across, I'd be making it on them and not on somebody that wasn't my kid. But he has to deal with that too. And that's not easy. And especially with people that, you know, if you want to find things that you can, you know, nitpick at him on, that's one of them. And I don't understand that whatsoever.
You know, it's kind of an interesting case there too, because remember, like you said, it's not even just one kid, it's two kids that he's trying to balance. And I know that Fran said this a couple of times in a couple of interviews that, you know, Margaret will say that he isn't playing Connor and Patrick enough some games. But I think Fran, as far as playing time goes, has done a really good job. I was very curious when Patrick came in. I asked him a couple of times throughout, you know, his young career at Iowa, does he call him coach or does he call him dad? Because to some degree, if you're calling him dad, I can see how that kind of rubs players maybe the wrong way. Maybe if he wants to be treated like everybody else or be seen as an equal, I think coach is a good way to go. But like you said, you know, and Fran sought out a lot of advice from obviously Jim Boeheim, Tom Izzo. I mean, he's gone around the country to be able to talk to coaches who've had experience coaching their kids. And I think he was pretty prepared for the most part. And I think that, you know, the bond that Fran and Patrick have and Connor have, I think that definitely has made it a little bit easier.
And young Boeheim going 31-34 in 2 days in the Big East tournament doesn't hurt that either. So for a person, you know, and Jim Boeheim is, him and Fran McCaffrey are a lot alike, take a lot of heat, but you not heat from their players. And that's the interesting thing. That's when you're, as an athletic director, that's when you start worrying about things. I can understand, you are so young, but you're doing a great job. But you didn't get to see Roy Marble play. I saw Roy Marble play. It was right in my – him and I are about the same. We would be the same age. He was a great player at Iowa and a transitional player because he brought, you know, he opened up that Michigan kind of, you know, beltway there to try to get those kids. But that was a great recruiting class that came in. And I understand Devin was a great player too. And, mm-hmm. you know, you can be upset about it, but the difference between what Roy Marble did on a great team with a bunch of really high end players and what Luka Garza done just as an individual first, where he was when he came in to where he's leaving the Iowa program, there's no comparison on they still recognized Roy, but there's no comparison on who should be hanging from the rafter.
No, and I'm in the same boat as you, by the way, about that. But I'll say this. It's such a difficult, it's almost heartbreaking to some extent because there's so many layers to this entire equation. You know, back in 2015, Gary Barra said they were going to have a wall of honor and they were going to put Roy Marble on there because they wanted to recognize him. But they haven't been able to get that reconstructed yet in Carver Hawkeye. And when he said that, he said, I don't envision retiring any more jerseys. Well, then you got Megan Gustafson and Luka Garza both retiring the last 3 years. And I'm not arguing against either one of them, by the way. I think I've done a pretty good job of being a driving force for them to be respected nationally. I've tried to. I think they've earned that. But, you know, I think the worst thing about this entire situation, and I don't even blame Devin for the timing of it. He's allowed to feel the way he feels. He was asked about it. He responded to it on Twitter, obviously, which is how this whole thing started. But just the way it's really kind of unraveled. It's just a bad timing. I think I see Devin's side, you know, and I see at the same time, I see Iowa's side. I think the biggest thing though is what should Iowa have learned over the past 10 months? The Iowa Athletic Department, they need to be transparent. And I mean, especially after everything that happened this summer, they have to be transparent. And when Gary Barta, which I thought was an okay apology, came out and said, we're sorry, we've reached out to Devin, but we're not going to retire his jersey. But they said he didn't meet the criteria. Well, what's the criteria exactly? They have not made that known. I think that would be a very good step in the right direction if the Iowa Athletic Department and Gary Barta would be transparent about, okay, what would it take for somebody to be retired or get their jersey retired or get their number retired or anything like that. The fact that there's no transparency and there's no set known criteria for that, I just think it's a bad look for Iowa.
I do too. And once again, we're talking to David Eicholt. He is at DEicholt247. And that's always been the knock on Gary Barta. It's not that he's not a good person and it's not that, you know, he does this on purpose, but sometimes he gets ahead of himself and then his explanations don't match the uproar sometimes that happens. And when you look at someone like Megan Gustafson and what she did, and you look at what Luka Garza has done, runner up to player of the year last year, going to be player of the year this year, going to be a first team All-American. I mean, that is something. And the way that he's handled everything from when he came in. I mean, it's just him and Megan are two people that you understand. Chris Street, you understand. Ronnie Lester, mm-hmm. you understand. You know, and it's not that difficult to get that criteria out there. And I agree with you that would have made this a lot easier on everybody.
Yeah, and like you said, I think there's no sense to me in disparaging Roy Marble and what he did on the team. I know some people have done that. I don't think that's fair on a lot of levels. We could spend probably the rest of the segment talking about that. I don't think it's a good look to disparage his accomplishments, and I think it's important to be able to separate his personal issues from what he did on the court. But like you said, you can't argue against Luka Garza. I'm naming him back-to-back National Player of the Year. He won it last year. I mean, my opinion, he won Sporting News. I mean, it shouldn't have been close. And Megan scored over 1,000 points in a season. In a season. I mean, it was ridiculous what she did, and obviously she's helped elevate that women's program. What Caitlin Clark is going to, you know, keep that going.
Yeah. So when we're looking at the Big Ten tournament, any idea? I mean, it's been pretty tight-lipped. I saw that he was in his practice gear. Joe Wieskamp, any idea what kind of percentage he's going to be tomorrow?
You know, based on the photos, I'd say it's a good sign that he's going to play, but I also don't want to be that person that's like, it's like football season, right? Like spring football. Oh, that guy looks fast on a picture. Yeah. I think Joe, it's hard for me to envision he'd be above 75-80%. That's not anything I'm hearing, but when you watch that replay, I mean, that looked like a really, really bad roll. But I was encouraged last night when you saw the photo of him boarding the plane. There was no crutches, no boot, and I think that's a good sign. But it is going to be a question mark because obviously Iowa's all in on trying to win a Big Ten championship. Luca Garza said he wants a Big Ten championship as much as he wants a national championship. So despite what some people may say that, oh, what does Iowa have to gain? This is what it's all about. This is why Luca Garza came back. This is why a lot of the guys on the team stayed throughout the process. They want championships. And obviously they're going to need Joe Wieskamp to do that. But I will say, obviously, they're not going to force Joe Wieskamp to go if he's not comfortable going.
And I wanted to give Fran McCaffrey some credit here, too, because what Greg Gard did after the Iowa-Wisconsin game, and I couldn't wait to ask you this question. If Fran McCaffrey would have done what Greg Gard did, he wouldn't be coaching in this first Big Ten tournament game.
The double standard is sickening
it's
to me.
It's bad.
And I have no issue with Greg Gard sticking up for Brad Davison, even though it's hard, if not impossible, to stick up for Brad Davison because it's undeniable that he's one of the dirtiest players in college basketball. It just is. Like, nothing against him as a person, but he's a dirty player. But like you said, I think it's absolutely a joke that the Big Ten has not come out and at least condemned it publicly, and that Greg Gard was asked about the post-game rant after, I think yesterday, and he said, oh, we talked, we had a good conversation. Fran is suspended for a game or two minimum opens his mouth. And don't tell me it's about, oh, it's a one-time thing versus a seven-time thing. No, that's not fair on a lot of levels. And Fran McCaffrey, I think, for the most part, has done a pretty good job this season about laying off the officials compared to some of the other coaches across the league that I've seen. And again, I'm not condemning Greg Gard for what he did and what he felt's right. But the double standard is ridiculous to me. And the fact that they didn't even come out and fine him or at least provide comment about it is a joke for how in that Greg Gard went on. It sucks on a lot of levels.
I totally agree with you. And that's why I knew exactly what you were going to say. And that's why I wanted you to say it because I said it enough yesterday. So before we jump on, I'm going to spend the last few minutes talking about Caitlin Clark. Michigan State, with their record being in the Big Ten, do they deserve a NCAA bid more than the Drake Bulldogs?
No, 100%. I don't care they won three games against top five teams this year. I think that Drake should be in regardless, especially with the adversity that they overcame. I think Michigan State will get in based off name brand and the fact that their best wins came late in the year. I think they really choked today. But there are a lot of teams that are in the field right now that should not be in the field over the Drake Bulldogs. The Drake Bulldogs shouldn't even just be in. They should be safely in.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and hopefully that's the way it turns out. Also, with no Kentucky, no Duke, that's unheard of. So it's a different year, and the people making decisions should understand it's a different year. I watched Caitlin play last night. On an off night, she still was 27-9-7, three steals. I looked at, so you and I are in agreement on this. I mean, she should be freshman player of the year in the Big Ten. She was. She should be first team all conference, unanimous. She was. She was second team all American. So I thought, okay, today before I have David on, I'm going to take a look. And you had Paige, I get her in Connecticut. I'm okay with that. But she averaged 19-7, 6-1. And you know what they put in there? She shot 53.9% from the field. And you look at Caitlin Clark, shot 41.6% from three, and the one thing they forgot to put in there was that she's shooting NBA threes, not college threes.
She has a buzzer beater per quarter, at least one buzzer beater, like a game, at least at the end of a quarter, it feels like. She always pulls up from 30 and just knocks it down. She did last night, even on an off night.
Yeah, and you had a couple of players that averaged like 12 points a game were first-team All-American, and I'm like, okay. It doesn't matter. If you can get Paige in there and being at UConn and they're like, you know, she really helped the team, you know, because Connecticut had kind of a down year. They have five stars everywhere on their team. After watching her play last night and the center, and I help me with her name. I can't remember her name. She was amazing last night. She had 38 points.
Monica Cezano.
Yeah, she's on, and she's fun to watch. But, man, her and Caitlin, they have it going on, too, because, man, Caitlin knows when to get her the ball and get her where she's already – I mean, she's turning to make her shot as soon as the ball comes, and they're fun to watch play together. But after – you know, if you were somebody that hadn't seen her play and you just watched last night, you're like, boy, she had an off night, and what did she score? And what?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the type of player she is. And you know, as they continue on, hopefully people start it. This is, I mean, Megan Gustafson was fun to watch, but this is somebody that's the full length of the court all the time. I mean, she's just a different player. And the University of Iowa, everybody needs to watch because this is a special person that's playing basketball out there right now.
If Luka Garza anoints a true freshman among the names of Spencer Lee, Luka Garza, and Megan Gustafson in the same breath, which he did when he was asked about Megan Gustafson, Caitlin Clark's doing something right. And I have no doubt that she honestly could go down as the best player of all time, which is insane to me after what we watched Megan Gustafson do. But Caitlin Clark's potential is off the charts. And I here's the best way I can sum it up for you. Box office. Must-watch television.
It is. I mean, my wife and I are hunting to find the television station. We finally found it last night. And if you have YouTube TV, it's definitely on there. So you need to watch because playing Rutgers tonight, that's going to be a tough game. And C. Vivian is an amazing coach. So it's going to be fun to see what she tries to do. But you have to have – I mean – they tried everything on her last night, and it was fun. And we can't. I was going to say that too. That Spencer Lee's another one that he's going to hang from up there too. I mean, because if he wins this year, because he's going to come. He just said today that he's going to come back, and he has a chance to be a 4-time winner. What he's done for Iowa wrestling is just as big as what everybody else has.
Especially since he decommitted from Penn State, remember, and flipped to Iowa.
And that's an amazing thing. David, I appreciate you coming on today. I just wanted to talk to you before the game so you could just concentrate on that. Thanks, buddy.
Connect with Steen on sports at 1700thechamp.com. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back and happy Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Hopefully everybody's having a great day today. It's a nice day out. Going to have a little rain, getting a little cooler, but I think we can hang on. The weather's going to turn. We'll be out there playing golf before you know it. Players Championship going on right now. One of my favorite golf tournaments. We'll take a look into that within this segment or the next segment. If you're looking for sports betting, please go to BetMGM. Download the app and put some skin in there. Put some cash in there. Look for their first bet specials. They can match up to $100. They have parlay specials every day. Deposit, bet, win. Have fun. It's a win-win with BetMGM. Also want to thank Northwest Bank for jumping on and being a sponsor. Two locations in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Great place to bank. Also a great place to work. Winning the top workplace honor for the sixth year in a row. Two locations, one in Ankeny, one in West Des Moines. Member FDIC. Want to thank Kevin Lehman for coming on and giving us some updates on what he believes for the NCAA tournament. He thinks Drake's getting closer to being a lock. I still think they have a chance maybe to get out of those the first four that have to play a play-in game and make its way up. I think Michigan State losing, Xavier losing. They do need some other pieces to fall their way. And David Eicholt coming in so we could talk Iowa basketball. They got big weekend coming up. He also thinks that Drake has a good enough resume to not be in, to definitely be in, but not be in that first four to be in the regular tournament, probably higher than what some people are looking at. I also believe that the number of games, having played the number of games that they did during a COVID year and how they had to play back-to-backs and everything that's scheduled that the Missouri Valley did, which was amazing for that group. I think they deserve some better recognition than what they're getting. Today is semifinals today. 2A semifinals earlier this morning was Boyden Hull beat Appleton Parkersburg. Western Christian Hull defeated Des Moines Christian. Ballard beat Davenport Assumption. Pella and Sergeant Bluff are playing as we speak, and then you hop into 4A tonight. You have number 1 Cedar Falls against number 4 Johnston, number 2 Waukee, number 3 Ames. You have, if you're looking for Division 1 athletes in basketball, if you can catch these two games in 4A tonight, you had some great kids today that put on shows that are D1 athletes as well. Check them out tonight. And any of these, you're going to see great championship games tomorrow. So Class 1A championship tomorrow is going to be it is North Lynn, Troy Mills versus Montezuma, and then Boyden Hull will play Western Christian Hull in the 2A championships. So that's going to be interesting. And then the 3A championships at 5, the 4A championships at 7:30. We always said that having sports radio in town is very important, and having as many avenues and that you can listen, you can. So if you want to catch the games tonight, the Cedar Falls Johnston game and the Waukee Ames game, it's going to be on KXNO. They do a great job of doing live there, and give them a listen. And those are great games. You're going to see some high scoring action tonight with the offenses that those four teams have. I wanted to talk about when COVID first hit, one of the big items, it was on the Today Show, it was on a couple other places. Maya Moore is a WNBA player. She's a four-time WNBA champion, WNBA MVP. She didn't play last season because she wanted to focus on ministry dreams that have been stirring in my heart for many years. And for the next year and a half, she committed to working for the release of Jonathan Irons from prison, a man from her childhood home state of Missouri who had been convicted of burglary and assault with a deadly weapon in 1998 when he was 16 years old. Last March, a judge ruled the prosecutors had suppressed evidence that would have bolstered Irons' defense. His conviction was vacated, and he was released from prison on July 1st. Moore and Irons, 41, married last summer. This journey has been quite wild, so I'm still trying to take the time to really get settled. We just got married. I'm still planning on taking some rest and really just leaning into the season of enjoying Jonathan and having this full year. So she's not going to play again this year. Irons has filed a civil lawsuit against authorities that investigated the case. I'm not the only person that this has happened to. This lawsuit about publicly exposing what has happened to me, sharing the truth and creating public awareness and hopefully creating a deterrent to stop this from happening to someone else is something that we want to do together. It was a special story and something that, you know, someone gave up something that she loved to help someone who she thought was wrongly accused and worked their way through and winning the case and fell in love. It's a great story, and it's a story that it probably happens way too much in this country that we have no idea that it's happening. And we're going through the same thing when we talked to Chris Tubbs earlier this week. We're dealing with all the items that are happening in Minneapolis with the death and, you know, police brutality, and it started a whole eye-opening experience for all of us. And it's something that we need as a society to take a step back. And, you know, we all have, and you don't even know how deep rooted some of the ways that we view things are until someone points them out to you. And it makes it very difficult. And when you're trying to raise young men and young women, which a lot of people my age, 55, you know, I'm going to be judged on how I raised my sons and how they act in public and treat people. And to this day, I think that Jennifer and I did a really good job. And their loving and caringness that they do have for people, I think, is something that we really wanted them to have. And I think they've probably exceeded our expectations at times of how well that, you know, they act and their ability to be, for my oldest, a man, for my my next two, you know, being young men ready to take that leap. My middle son, Andrew, getting ready to graduate from Iowa State, already has a job, and my youngest is a sophomore, and we worked really hard at that. But even working really hard and doing that, we probably still, you know, it's not perfect. And how you treat others and you know, it goes without saying that, you know, even I think back to when I was in grade school and high school and how I was brought up, and, you know, it could have been better. And I think, God rest both my parents, I think they would probably agree. I mean, it was a different time. And when I think back at my childhood and bringing my sons up, it's crazy how different they were. And I've said this many times, thank goodness there wasn't cell phones and cameras everywhere, because people do dumb things. I did dumb things. And, but you need to grow from that. And hopefully that is, what we're seeing. Hopefully that's what happens up in Minneapolis and across the country as we continue. You know, we just went through a year, and that's one of the second thing I really wanted to talk about, that it was a year ago. You know, we didn't, I mean, Rudy Gobert got some backlash about, you know, hey, I've tested positive for COVID and this is why this game's not being played. And he came out and he touched the microphones and did all that. I don't think that Rudy Gobert had any idea what he was doing, because we didn't have any idea what was going on. And I told somebody a story today and they said, that is so interesting. I wanted to kind of pass along. So Jennifer and I were in, we had been down in Dallas watching the youngest play baseball for South Dakota State, and had came home and were getting ready to go to Manhattan, Kansas, to watch them play K-State. We got to K-State. I do believe we might have been getting ready to play the first game when the whole Rudy Gobert thing started, or we might have played the first game already. I am getting old, folks, and can't remember all of it, but you started to hear the things come through. I know that we played the second game, so it was a two-game series, and they were getting ready to leave, and we were getting ready to go to Tulsa to play Oral Roberts. And we were getting ready that morning. We were downstairs eating breakfast. The kids were starting to come down. And during the time that they came, and I don't remember the exact days, but I had taken a couple of the boys to, because there was like, I don't know, there's six groups of parents there. I had taken a couple of boys to the doctor so the coach could stay with the rest of the team and they could go do what they wanted to do. And both boys thought they had the flu or a cold or whatever. And I to this day, I still don't know exactly. But when I brought them back and we're going through all this, Jennifer and I left the hotel and drove, and we went to Walmart, we went to Target, we went to Home Depot or Lowe's, one of those two. And we're trying to find Lysol spray, and we're trying to find wipes, because she's like, they need this on the bus. And we started going, and nobody had it. Walmart didn't have any. Target didn't have any. And I think Lowe's didn't have anything. So we found it at Home Depot. And we were feeling so guilty because we're taking up, I mean, we took up quite a bit. And, you know, people were, the parking lots just kept filling up. And we still had no idea. We start driving to go to Tulsa. And about, I don't know, halfway there, we got a phone call saying that, hey, we're heading back to South Dakota State. These games have been canceled, and it's pretty close to having the season canceled. And by the time that we got back home, and when we got home, the first phone call we got when they got home is, hey, yeah, I'm going to start loading my stuff up. They're getting ready to cancel school. And we're going to do school online from home. And all of this happened in like this two-week period, or you know, started and then you thought, okay. And then Iowa State did that and everybody. And so, you know, you're like, okay, how long could this last? And then we're in a year already. Right now, we're at a year point. So just crazy things. Hopefully, I mean, we're getting to that point. We're getting to a point where a bunch of people are getting vaccinated. They're starting to say what the guidelines are with people being vaccinated. It's going to be nice to get to see, I mean, everybody on this radio show knows how much I love Nana, and to be able to get to see Nana, who we haven't got to see except for through a glass door for the past year. I mean, we're all looking forward to that and trying to get back to normal. And I say all this because it's still not normal for a lot of these student athletes. And I've been trying to do a pretty good job of preaching the fact that we need to be very careful about how we act and interact while watching student athletes play at the high school level, at the state tournament, and how referees and I think Tom Izzo had a rough day today. And they got beat today, but you know, he exploded a couple of times, and I think he saw the same thing, is that I need to control, because what we're all going through still to this time, and you have to remember that all of these people that are getting ready to, if that are going to get selected to play basketball, you have from the championships will be played on Saturday, and all these teams now have 7 days, because I think the first four games start Thursday or Friday. You have 7 days to get everybody. They have to have 7 consecutive days of testing negative in order to get into the bubble in Indianapolis. And from what I could see, you're going to be tested in the morning and in the evening every day that you're there. And that is a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure on the coaching staffs. That's a lot of – even before trying to coach to win a basketball game, you have to try to coach, parent, and do all that, trying to keep your players healthy away from everybody else and everything that it all entails and involves. So, I mean, they're doing double duty here and continue to do double duty. And you need to realize that what is going on is very difficult for everybody. And we need to take a step back and keep looking at this and say, you know, let's enjoy the simple fact. Like, we just got to enjoy the state high school wrestling tournament. We got to see the whole girls tournament get taken care of. We're getting ready to, we're in the final evening tonight and 2 days for boys basketball. And then we get the NCAA tournament. We have wrestling going on too. Just take a step back. And we already enjoyed college football. Take a step back. Enjoy it. Make sure that we heap enough praise on everybody that is playing, coaching, and doing all that, and not get so angry if something doesn't go your way or go your team's way. And I'll tell you one thing, and we are going to have a NCAA tournament contest. This is going to be the hardest NCAA tournament with hardly any fans and all this going on. It's going to be the hardest one to pick ever. And I can't wait to see who's going to be the winner of this 1700 The Champ NCAA tournament brackets, or the brackets for my family, which is a huge championship for us. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. We're going to do some updates on NCAA basketball and what's ahead for tonight next.
Brewed in Des Moines, you're listening to Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back. Happy Thursday. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Last segment coming up right now. I want to thank Kevin Lehman coming in today, talking NCAA with me, and David Eicholt giving us an Iowa update. And get ready to watch the women play tonight on FS2. They play at 7:30. Iowa State women start play tomorrow. Drake women, I think, start tomorrow as well. NCAA selection show is coming up on Sunday. We're going to find out where Drake's going. I'm hoping that they're on way solid ground by now with some of the upsets that happened today. If you want to do sports betting in the state of Iowa, please download the app, BetMGM. Put some money in the game. Check out the specials, especially their first bet special that usually you can bet up to $100. And if you lose, they will pay you back. You can download the app, deposit your money, bet, win, have fun. You can do that with BetMGM in the state of Iowa. I really appreciate what they have done for the program. And so just some odds and ends to get taken care of today. Right now, it looks like Sergio Garcia is going to have the lead going into tomorrow. A lot of players at two. There are 12 players at least minus two or above. If you throw minus ones in there, it takes you to 26 players. Some players had some rough day. My guy had a good day today. I'm excited. Jordan Spieth, a 2-under 70 today on a tough course. So I'm excited about that. Some NCAA basketball scores from today. Let's go through some of these. San Diego State, who's ranked 19th, beat Wyoming today. Seton Hall beat St. John's. Tulane beat Tulsa. Texas Southern won today. Montana State is currently ahead of Idaho State by 10 with 18 seconds left. Buffalo beat Miami of Ohio. Baylor beat K-State today by 6. K-State gave them a great game. Bruce Weber doing a great job down there. It's pretty fun to that the success that he's enjoying down there. Ohio State took care of Minnesota today. Patino up in Minnesota is kind of sitting there just waiting to see what happens. Oklahoma State beat West Virginia 72-69. That was number 12 against number 10 West Virginia. So a nice win for Okie State today. Georgetown 11-12 and 7-9 in the Big East, beating Villanova, number 14 in the country. Duke, Florida State was canceled because of a positive COVID test today. Virginia, Syracuse, I listened to that game. If you got to see it on TV, it was a great game. Virginia wins at the buzzer. Toledo beat Ball State today. Maryland took care of Michigan State. Michigan State now 15-12 and 9-11 in the Big Ten. Hanging on as a thread as a Drake fan, I'm hoping Michigan State, Kentucky, and Duke did not get bids over the Drake Bulldogs. South Florida beat Temple today 73-71. Mississippi State beat Kentucky 74-73. That means Kentucky is now 9-16. I think that takes them out of the running. Southern Utah beat Northern Colorado. Ohio beat Kent State. Florida beat Vanderbilt today 14-8. Florida 9-7. The SEC probably helped them with their bid today. Georgia Tech beat Miami today. Santa Barbara beat Long Beach State. Oregon took care of Arizona State. And Oregon State UCLA is just going now. So a bunch of games going. Creighton is up 16 on Butler. It's nice to see Greg McDermott back coaching today. We've talked about him plenty this week. Kansas and Oklahoma playing right now. Kansas is up 11-9. Indiana is up 11-7 over Rutgers. So with all that going on, so my favorite NFL team is the Baltimore Ravens. They kind of had a two-back system last year with a rookie too. Mark Ingram left the Baltimore Ravens today to go to the Houston Texans to reunite with his offensive coordinator, David Culley, who is now the Houston Texans coach. He had a rough day today. In going through interviews, he was kind of using Deshaun Watson in past tense, making everyone believe he's not going to be there. I, for one, do believe that he is not going to be there, but we'll see what happens. It kind of hurts the Baltimore Ravens. They're trying to get under the salary cap. The Principal Charity Classic, and they are going to have fans this year. 5,000 is what they are predicting. So it'll be nice to get to see some golf and walk the course. Let's see. The committee is getting together and for Selection Sunday, and they've been meeting for the past 2 weeks. They have pretty much got the number one seeds down to 8 to 10 teams fighting for that number one seed to number two seed. They also have, I think, they said that they have 26 teams that are entrenched in getting in so far, out of the 62 plus. You have, I said a little bit about Eric Bieniemy on everything that he gave up this year because one of his sons has cerebral palsy, so he didn't stay at home except for one day a week during the whole entire season. We talked a little bit. Xavier getting beat last night, I think that helps Drake too. the Duke Florida State game. I feel bad that the game got canceled. Once again, the ruling is NCAA requiring all Tier 1 personnel, which means players, coaches, athletic trainers, everybody, to have 7 consecutive negative tests before traveling to Indianapolis into the bubble. You know, a lot of these players, when they're heading to these NCAA tournament sites that they're playing their conference championships, and then they're traveling to Indianapolis. So, I mean, these young men and women are packing for, like, you know, they have to pack for the long term. So that's like 28 days. That's some crazy stuff. Yesterday the Vikings released Dan Bailey. If you were a Vikings fan and you watched him kick last year, I don't think that you have that much to worry about. I think you can get a kicker for less money. After watching the past 5 days, I wanted to throw this out there, and we've got about 3 minutes left. What is our fascination in this country, the home of the free and the home of the brave and unlimited ability to speak your mind, with the Royals in England? It is like a constant barrage on TV about that, and I was guilty of watching some of it today, just of all the things that are going on. We talked earlier in the week about Myers Leonard from the Miami Heat, and while he was live streaming on a gaming video, he used an anti-Semitic slur. There's been a lot of people, Julian Edelman for one, and there's been more that have been, you know, talking with him and saying that we have the ability to help you and understand that you didn't say it because of a racial connotation to it. It was more out of ignorance than it was anything else. And sometimes that's even harder to get out of your system is when, you know, you just don't understand. He got suspended for a week. He was fined a certain amount of money because they couldn't take away his paycheck because he's currently on the injured reserve list. So they can't take that payment away from him. Hopefully he's a young man. He's going to learn. He's going to learn that no matter where you're at, everything that you say have consequences. And we all know that. And I said yesterday, Jeremy was in here yesterday or the day before, and we were saying that together, that doing this show, even when you're very passionate about what you're talking about, you have rules of what you can and can't say. And you know, sometimes when you're very passionate, and that even made it harder when Jeremy and I, or when Wolfgang and I were in here, because we would have legitimate arguments, and you have to be very careful of what you say. So it's always, you know, it's always something that you have to, you know, take stock in what you're saying. And if something comes out and it's not the way you want it, or you get in trouble for something you say, you need to own it. And hopefully if that ever happened, and I would take ownership of it too. It means a lot to me. This show means a lot to me, and what we talk about and what we do. And, you know, I have a lot of people that have given me a great opportunity to be able to talk to people and talk about sports. Not everybody gets to do that. You know, you have a lot of people that want to do it, and you know, they always ask me questions about doing it. This isn't easy, especially on days where you have a lot of breaking stuff, but you don't have real big stories, because it's still, you know, like the NCAA tournament and all these conference tournaments and everything are kind of still in its infancy right now. Tomorrow starts the big stuff, because now everybody's going to be playing, because you get like the Big Ten. You're going to get the top 4 seeds play tomorrow night. So that'll be exciting. Hopefully you'll watch. If you haven't watched Caitlin Clark play, please, if you have FS2, she's playing Rutgers tonight. It's going to be a tough game. Give her a shot and see just how fun she is to watch play. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, bringing you sports your way every day. Love everybody out there. Thanks for listening, and I will see you tomorrow.